Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Thank you for joining us on another Friday Roundup with Texas Scorecard. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. Before we head into this long Memorial Day weekend, want to go back and look at a couple of the big stories that we covered at TexasScorecard.com this week. As always, if you're watching this live on Facebook, feel free to leave your questions or comments, and we'll try to get to those at the end of the program. But first, I want to start things on a news story. It's something that I think a lot of folks probably didn't hear about, but you've got a new situation right now where the Dallas City Council is looking at a very, very questionable development deal that could stand to benefit a Democrat Senate candidate's son. It's drawing a lot of comparisons to the Panther Island case over in Fort Worth. Robert Montoya in the Metroplex joining us right now. Robert, first, give folks a little bit of background who may not have heard about this story.
Right, Brandon. So this is what's going on. In the Deep Elm area of the city of Dallas, you have I-345, which is a stretch of highway that goes over the Deep Elm area. And beneath it, right now, it's a lot of trash, grass. I've been down there myself, and you know, you have even some homeless people populating there. And a lot of people have argued that building this highway has contributed to the economic downturn of the area. So there have been proposals on what to do about this. One proposal has been tear down I-345 completely, reunite the Deep Elm area with the rest of the city of Dallas and allow for economic development. And the second idea is, let's let the son of State Senator Royce West build soccer fields underneath this highway with all this gas and, you know, emissions blowing down on people playing soccer. Real healthy.
Yeah, it seems like a very, very odd location to have a soccer field to be under this highway. And for folks who aren't from Dallas, I mean, it's important. We say I-345, but this is not a big highway or anything. I don't even think it's signed. It's sort of a technical kind of connecting road overpass that goes by downtown. Odd place for a soccer field, but your article suggests that sources are saying there might be some other reasons why he wants that space.
Yes, well, sources have expressed to me that they're concerned that what this could be is just a land grab to position themselves to have this real estate. So if the I-345 does come down, whoever has it can sell to the highest bidder. And some of the things contributing to that is, you know, at the committee meeting this Monday, where you had City of Dallas Council meeting with Roderick West, who was there, Councilman Paul Blackman asked Roderick some interesting questions. She's like, "Do you have any experience doing a project like this before?" He said, no. Who are your investors? Private investors. Was this an open bid process for you to do this? He's like, I can't speak to TxDOT's process. He said he knocked on a lot of doors, made a lot of phone calls.
A lot of eerie comparisons to something that you've covered very heavily, which is the Panther Island project just on the other side of the Metroplex, where you had the son of Congresswoman Kay Granger similarly being put in charge of a development deal. And even there, a lot of questions about his ability or his qualifications to manage that. What are the Dallas City Council? Obviously, the Dallas City Council has to vote on this. What are you hearing from the council members right now?
Well, right now what I'm hearing is they're still scheduled to vote on this next Wednesday, unless city staff pulls it. Now, that's a key word, city staff. You know, at this committee meeting Monday, Councilman Chad West said that he had asked city staff three times to see the site plan. I've also heard from others that, you know, a lot of council members don't really know a lot about this deal. And Chad West said, "I've never been more disappointed in city staff in my life." So that's another comparison to Panther Island, is elected officials being kept in the dark about this from those who are working on it. Very questionable stuff.
Yeah, and it can't, I don't think it can be overstated that this is the son of State Senator Royce West, who is also in the Democrat runoff for the U.S. Senate right now. Very interesting story. Know there's going to be a lot of developments on this, and we'll be following that. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Brandon.
Now a story that has the ability to affect everybody statewide. As we know, people have been dealing with the Chinese coronavirus, economic shutdowns. But we've also got elections on the horizon. Those are still happening. The question is, what are those going to look like? For that, we're going to talk to Aaron Anderson. Aaron, we've got these lawsuits. I think people don't realize there's two. There's one in state court and there's one in federal court. But you've got these two lawsuits that are ongoing right now where Democrats are essentially saying everybody should be able to vote by mail.
Well, that's right, Brandon. Important to note, there are two different lawsuits, so it's getting kind of confusing, but they both have the same goal, which is to expand or actually eliminate state election law on who is eligible to vote by mail, a process that is ripe for fraud, which I'll talk more about in a minute, but basically exploiting the coronavirus crisis to open up mail ballot voting in Texas to everyone. And now the reason they both have the same goals, these lawsuits, is, as you noted, they're both brought by the same people, the Texas Democrat Party and some of their allies on the left, like the League of Women Voters, really trying to use the courts to get a policy goal that they haven't been able to get in the legislature, and which is universal vote by mail. And I'll note, this is not just happening in Texas. There's a nationwide litigation strategy by Democrats to use the coronavirus as an excuse to try to get this policy goal they want, expanded voting by mail, and other election laws they want as well. Even in Congress, Nancy Pelosi and her squad trying to get some of these looser election rules applied nationwide through a congressional bill.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this in other states. We've seen the president, Donald Trump, come out and say, you know, no to this. This is rife with fraud, just as you mentioned. And we've seen examples of that in Texas. So the mechanics of this, just so everybody understands, I mean, their argument is that right now you can check a box if you're, you know, disabled or you're over a certain age, and you can get your ballot by mail. That's how the process has worked. Their argument essentially is that, well, disability could apply to anybody who fears getting the virus. Is that right?
Well, that's right. So it was first argued in state court by the Democrats. A Democrat judge in Travis County went along with this argument that a fear of contracting the coronavirus could be seen as a, quote, disability, so that virtually every voter could just check that disability box and request a mail ballot. Now, one of the things that's come to light in all these debates is the fact that no one verifies disability. It's an honor system. No one checks. You don't have to submit any proof. So that's been an issue that's been discussed a lot in the courts. What is the definition of a disability, and who even checks? That's ongoing, but that state court order was put on hold. It's been stayed while Texas Attorney General Kim Paxton appeals. So it's not in effect, but a lot of county Democrat election officials, including in Dallas County, Harris County, and some others, still went about telling their voters that yes, hey, according to this ruling, everybody can, if you're afraid of the coronavirus, check the disability box, and we'll be happy to send you a mail ballot. So that's caused a kerfuffle as well.
Yeah. So now, you've got these cities and county, and they're saying, go ahead, go do it. So help folks understand, we've seen that there were arguments kind of in both of these two cases, again, the state case, the federal case. Where are we at on both of those right now?
Right. Well, the state case is working its way through the appeals process. Again, the order saying everyone can vote by mail is on hold. It's not in effect. Same thing in the federal case. They made some slightly different arguments, on a constitutional basis, but they want the same result. Everybody vote by mail. So that is also on hold right now. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals going to be hearing more about that. So neither of these cases have been resolved. They're both on hold right now. According to both state and federal judges, we do not have universal vote by mail. And yet there's so much confusion. And let me just say, this is working to the Democrats' advantage, because whatever the outcome in these court cases, Democrats will continue to argue there was so much confusion in the mind of voters because of Democrats' lawsuit and then these Democrat officials bandying about that it was the case, that how can we possibly expect voters, you know, to know what's what? And of course, they've assumed that they can vote by mail, so we can't really do anything about it. So really, the Democrats kind of come out ahead on this either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, you know, like you said, there's no way to really verify, or at least there's questions about how one goes about verifying this. And so at a certain point, these elections are coming up. The runoff election is coming up soon. And if people are filling out those requests right now, hard to wind those back. So thank you for joining, Aaron, and explaining that to us. I'll note Mark comments, Democrats love to harvest ballots. Yes, I think that we've
exactly, and that's a big objection to opening up. That's why the state enacted limits on who can vote by mail anyway, because it is so much more prone to fraud and abuse than in-person voting. And ballot harvesters, yes, will have a field day if every voter in the state is now a mail ballot voter.
Yes, and we've seen mail ballot harvesting happen all over the state, whether it be in South Texas or DFW. We've seen that, and you've got coverage of that at TexasScorecard.com as well. Thank you for joining, Aaron.
Thanks, Brandon.
Now, we talked about this mail ballot fraud case. When you're talking about the federal case specifically this week, you had Judge Fred Beery, a Clinton appointee, okay, a Bill Clinton appointee judge down in San Antonio, saying, hey, you can vote by mail. Anybody can apply for their ballot. Well, that decision immediately got stayed by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So for playing into the Democrats' hands, for being very, very partisan, it looks like Judge Fred Beery, this week's half-whip. For this week's hero, we're going to be looking to D.C. Usually there's not a lot of good stuff happening in D.C., but there is at least one this week. You've got Trey Trainer. An election lawyer. I think a number of you folks know him or have seen his work. He's helped a lot of grassroots organizations, including ours. He just got confirmed officially after nearly 3 years by the U.S. Senate for a post on the Federal Elections Commission. So congratulations to Trey. We know that he's going to do great things in that position, and he is this week's hero.
Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.